Here's an interview that I did a few days ago at the Yihlava Festival of Documentary Films. It's with Chris Kelly, the director of the great new film, Kings of Shumava. Enjoy.
Did your family ever think of going back? Did you miss it?
When the communists were there? No, never ever.
One of the highlights of this year's Yihlava Festival of Documentary Films was the Czech premiere of Kings of Šumava, which combines real interviews with animation to tell the gripping story of Josef Hasil. A native of the mountain range, Hasil was a border guard turned cross-border agent, whose daring do in smuggling defectors across the Iron Curtain led Czechoslovakia's secret police to list him as the King of Šumava in their files. Some see Hasil, who himself escaped from a communist prison, as a hero, while, as the film makes clear, others have never forgiven him over the shooting dead of a border guard. The testimony of Hasil himself, who lives in the US and is now 95, shows he too has some regrets about the past. The director of Kings of Šumava is Irishman Chris Kelly, and when we spoke in Yihlava, I asked him how somebody from his part of the world had come to tell this relatively little-known Czech story.
It starts with the producer, Vratislav, who had a certain vision for the film that was about looking at the story from a universal point of view. He started looking at people he knew and at directors he knew outside of the colloquial or Czech culture. Not because it would be negative or pejorative, it didn't do it in that sense, it's just that that was his vision. And I knew Vratislav from before, from Screen Ireland sort of stuff, and he approached me and said, look, this film I have at early stages, some research material, I'd love for you to take a look at it and see if there's anything you think you could bring to it. I instantly had the obvious same sort of questions as everybody asked me, of like, why do this? And I instantly thought of a film that I really loved. Being from Belfast, one of the first time I seen Hunger, I thought, I love that this is made by somebody with a perspective outside of Belfast. And it actually opened certain doors in my mind of how to consider conflict and all the facets or sides of it that come with it. And growing up through that, it felt like that's a great way, as an addition to the way other people tell stories, it's a great addition to the narrative of Belfast or whatever. And so when Vratislav approached with this project, I thought, yeah, okay, if I approach it from a naive point of view, asking questions, then it's another way for people in the Czech Republic to look at a local hero or a villain or whatever way that he's perceived. And that's up to the audience or that's up to the person.
And what was it that grabbed you about the story of this guy, Josef Hasil?
Because for me, it started with the borders. Being from Belfast, it plays a huge... There's a huge significance there and how I've been affected and how my family have been affected and how the people around me are culturally affected. So instantly, the idea of somebody who would smuggle people across the border was a story that I could relate to on certain levels. And what was exciting about it was the fact that it was a culture I didn't know and didn't understand and wanted to understand, so I could approach it from that kind of naive, childlike point of view. So that is what.
Apart from Josef Hasil himself, I guess one of your main characters is this woman who many, many years ago, when she was young, he helped across the border. Could you tell us a bit about her story?
For me, her story started with the research material and hearing the literal story of how she crossed the border. That's how it began for me. After that, it was the conversations with her in Canada, and it became really obvious that it's more than just that crossing. And once I spent some time with Vlasta, and once I got to understand the subject more. Now, this is a film that took me 5 years to understand what I wanted to put on screen. I realised that she, for me, both asked a lot of questions and answered a lot of questions when it came to that duality of Hasil being a hero and maybe not a hero in some people's eyes.
But that's one thing that comes across very clearly. She takes him as a huge hero. Others, even in his own family, wouldn't use that term. Others, again, see him as a kind of villain. Why is there this, for people who don't know his story, why is there this ambivalence about him?
Because there is always that duality, and with his story, it is clear that it depends, and Vlasta has said it many times in the film, that it really depends on which side of the fence you're sitting on. It depends on your perspective, your outcome. And to me, that's where one of those links drew back to Belfast, of all places, was it. Like, I could see very clearly you could turn a corner and be on a different street, and the rules of the world would be very different. So I felt compelled in what she was saying, and the family, and I think even for people that would consider him a villain, the conversation doesn't make a statement. It doesn't say he is this or that. It just asks those questions, allows you to think.
But he did pay a huge price, or rather some of his nearest and dearest paid a hell of a lot. They went to prison, they died. From your perspective, was what he did worth it?
I feel that there's an innate aspect to hassle where the value of worth is a difficult thing to make tangible. I personally believe that was his destiny. I feel that his actions are part of who he is as a person.
In the accounts of his earlier days, he seems like almost kind of like a James Bond character. He was working with the American agencies in West Germany. He was kind of ghosting across the border. Even when he'd already left himself, he was coming back. Is that a fair kind of comparison? Was he larger than life?
He was portrayed as larger in life in the book, and even in some of the interviews and research material. And I think that definitely leads me on to the animation and why that was chosen as a medium to portray that aspect of his life. Because I think my experience with doing a lot of animation is it's a great way of allowing people to accept that this is subjective and that this is potentially make-believe. And those aspects of his James Bond-esque life are to be perceived in whatever way that you want. It's very difficult to maybe believe that he was underwater for 20 feet in the cold, the winter, breathing through a straw. Those sort of the logistics of that are even difficult to understand. But in reality, that's what people want to believe, and that's what maybe sometimes people need to believe, and that's part of the film and its narrative.
And how does he himself view this myth of the king of Shumava as he came to be known?
As he says in the film, he doesn't see himself as the king of Shumava. I find him as a very warm, nice, positive man who didn't want to receive any glory for his actions.
He's still alive. He's now in his 90s. How is he doing these days, do you know?
The last I spoke, his health had definitely deteriorated from the first research material, and even when editing the film with Anna, who's an incredible editor, there was a decision definitely to not use certain material because it felt exploitative, and even though some of it was poignant and kind of emotional, because you could see how this person it was very physically capable of these things that I certainly wouldn't be of, you could see that his health was deteriorating. But I really hope that he gets to see the film.
For you, ultimately, what's the message of the Kings of Shumava?
The message is about freedom, and that certain aspects of that are innate, and that I think Yosef Hassel is an example of that innate freedom that somebody will always strive to achieve. And I hope the film will allow you to question borders, question the reasons why people decide to take certain actions.
But also it's a great yarn as well, right?
Yeah, of course. And being Irish, like, we love nothing more than a great yarn, and it's been an absolute pleasure to be part of one that is even outside my culture.
You worked on this film for many years, and you, I guess, came back and forth here a lot. Tell us about the relationship you developed with the Czech Republic in that time.
I can only be described as a love of the Czech Republic. Kind of grew. It wasn't a conscious decision to take my career down a path where it was in Prague or the Czech Republic, but it's just a culture that has kind of grown on me, and I think it's really incredible. And when I meet people that are potentially from Ireland or England or whatever, and they say that they've stayed here, I can really understand why.
My final question is, the music in the film is by David Holmes, who's done like enormous Hollywood films and many of them. How did you get him?
I'd worked with David in the past on a number of his projects that he did a fantastic film a few years ago, and the studio I have in Belfast did the visual effects on it and worked on a number of various productions that he's produced on as well. So he's an incredible guy with like such a talent, and through us working on his productions, I was in a position to ask him, look, I have this really beautiful story and thing I want to say, and it's in the Czech Republic, and he trusted me with his material, and I very much appreciate it.
Chris Kelly, who I met at the Jihlava Festival of Documentary Films.